fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and you're listening to Fire on the Earth. I've been talking all week about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. At the center of the Christian life is the invitation by God, the call of God, to each and every person whom he has created. Every person, every human being, whether we know it or not, has been formed and shaped in the mind and heart of God, in the palm of God's hand, as it were. Scripture uses that image. We are God's idea. God made us. He made us for himself. He made us to share in the wonder and the beauty, the majesty and the glory and the power that belongs to him. In creating the human race, God desired a family. He created us to the crown of creation, born in the image and likeness of God. We have a capacity to know God, a capacity to be in relationship with him. It's a phrase that John Paul II described in Dominum Vivificatum, that is, Lord and Giver of Life. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who given to us in our baptism. Christ, on the day of Pentecost, we know from the right hand of the Father, St. Peter tells us that the Father gave over to the Son, to Jesus, the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go so that you can receive the Holy Spirit. And it's Christianity is about being born anew in the power of the Holy Spirit into a relationship with the Father and the Son by sharing in the very life, in the divine life, and God's life that's been poured into our hearts. And that the fact that we're made in God's image and likeness, and God's given us a spirit, a capacity to be able to receive him, to receive the communication from him, to enter into relationship. I mean, worms and dogs and cows don't have that same capacity. They're still created by God, but for a different purpose. And humanity, even though many people today don't like the idea of thinking about human beings as the crown of creation and that there's a kind of equivalence between everything on the earth, plants, animals, human beings, there's no hierarchy, there's no difference. Well, the church has never understood it that way. The church is, as Pope Francis, his most recent document, talking about really human ecology and the ecology of the environment, how to care for it properly. The church has always had deep and profound respect for all of God's creation and has called all its members to steward the earth and steward the resources that God has given to us. And it's not man to dominate and lord over with any consideration of the dignity of things that God has made and the value of things God has made. But to see that the human person, human beings, men and women, male and female, God created them in his image and likeness. Together, we image God, male and female, together, not just male, not just female, but together. And that unity that's possible between a man and a woman that produces life is an image of God and God's unity and the God who produces life, God who is life itself. We share and participate in God's creation in an entirely unique way. And so here Pope John Paul II is making reference to that, a dimension of that. He said this means not only rationality and freedom as constitutive properties of human nature, but also from the very beginning, the capacity of having a personal relationship with God as I and you, and therefore the capacity of having a covenant, which will take place in God's salvific communication with man, with the human race. And so he's pointing out that human beings, we have rationality, we have freedom, and these are things that constitute the very essence and part of who we are. And he said that these constitutive elements or properties make it possible for us and are an expression of understanding something deep and profound about why we are the way we are. These are the kinds of things that give us a capacity, give us potential and a power to enter into a personal relationship with God. We're the kind of creature because God's made us that way, not just because we've evolved kind of randomly, meaninglessly, so that we can survive. We're actually made by God with this capacity to enter relationship, the I and the thou. I can know God. God has revealed himself to us. We can actually know God. We can know something about God. We can also know God. We can be touched by God. And the reason is because he's given us the capacity to do that. We're creatures by God's design and plan. We're persons who have an ability by God's intention to be able to have relationship with one another, relationship with their surroundings, and relationship with God. And Jesus came to reveal to us, he said, I call you friends. So I began the week, that amazing passage from John 15, verse 15. He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because I've shared with you, I've given to you everything that the Father has given to me. Jesus is saying, I'm drawing you into the intimate knowledge of my relationship with my Father. And I want to show you the Father's plan in my life. You're made to know my Father. You're made to know God. Like me, Jesus, in essence, was saying to us, you are made to know him and his will like I do, and to feed on it like I do, to find life in it, to find my purpose, my destiny, my joy. As God the Father reveals his plan, it's a revelation of his love, his creative power, his creative life. And that's for each and every one of us. Jesus is saying, you have my Father's fingerprint on you. You have been made by him, and I see that, and I know that. And that's why Jesus came in obedience to the Father, to draw us out of the condition of slavery and separation from God that we in the human race find ourselves in because of the fall, because of original sin. It's kind of crazy today. It seems fewer and fewer people, even some people in the church, reject the idea of original sin. I mean, is there anything more manifest? I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said that it's one of the dogmas of the church that every day in the newspapers, it just gets proven true. You know, it gets manifested. It's clear that something's wrong with the human race. Something's wrong with our inability to love and to live in peace and to live in harmony together. We violate our environment. We violate relationships. We make war. We do all. I mean, it just doesn't stop amidst all the good that also happens. So we see, man, we're mixed. We're a mixed bag. Our hearts are broken. Our hearts are scarred by sin. Sin's power is still at work in the human heart. That's where division comes from. That's where isolation and separation comes from. And it's ironic, even with the advancement of technology, as rapid as it is, and the opportunities that it gives us, just having a conversation on a break with one of the employees here is very insightful. He's just reflecting on being at an event with a large family event and seeing how much time during the family event, especially the young people, how much, even when they were in one another's presence, their attention was on their telephone, was on their iPhone or whatever they were using, and how much of the time, their common time together, they were actually staring into the phone and communicating with other people. It's isolating, isn't it? It's technology is meant to serve the dignity of the human person. Look, I'm not slamming phones per se or saying we shouldn't own telephones. What I'm saying is that we have to be careful. The wise words of C.S. Lewis, and when he said that if we fail to see the dignity of who we are in God and the high call that God has placed on our life, and we don't understand the creation as a word and everything that God has made is to help lift us toward him, and as we see Christ, who is the ultimate word, calling each of us and empowering us to love God and neighbor, if we don't live in that revelation, and instead we focus completely on technology apart from God and have no limits on technology and live with the desperation of people that assume there is no God and all of this is random, meaningless process, a fight for survival, we're going to miss the whole purpose of our creative power, and that by the technique that we create and the technology that we create could eventually work against us. Because we lose sight of, because we have a bad anthropology, put it that way, we lose sight of who is the human person, what is dignifying for us, what lifts us, what will bring us to happiness and health, what will bring us to freedom and community and life, which we all long for. But because we're so broken, and because we dethrone God, because part of us and what's in our heart is we don't want to have to be God-directed. We want to be directed on ourselves. We think that's the road to freedom. It's just the demonic lie and the slavery to deny God's existence and any ordering of our lives toward God and therefore any receiving of identity and relationship from God and definition of who we are from God and God's diagnosis of who we are, which he gives in love to lead us to health and lead us back to him. We ignore all that. And we find in ourselves, salvation is in my hands. I'm going to save myself. The man's going to save himself. How? Through his own wisdom, through his own technique, his own power to master and dominate his environment. That's the temptation. That's what the devil wants to sell us, to say, just keep following me. Don't let the religion thing or relationship with God, don't let that get in the way, because that's going to slow you down. It's going to distract you. It's going to bog you down. It's going to ruin your weekend. What you need is to be cut free from those they're chains that bind you. You need to be cut free from all that. And now go forth with all your own glory and all your own power. You define for yourself the meaning of life. You define for yourself what's male and female. You define for yourself what's the destiny of humanity, what your destiny is. And rely on your power and your wits. It's the only way through this. It's the only way you're going to be able to extend your life. It's the only way you're going to be able to find happiness. So much of what gets created can actually, which may be in itself good, can distort and confuse and cripple our capacity to understand ourselves, who we actually are. What is the true road to happiness? Where is human fulfillment to be found? Where's my life headed? What happens when I die? Is there any life after death? Is there any purpose in this present life? Jesus came to answer those fundamental questions. We create more and more things simply to distract us from those questions. We don't have time for them anymore. We don't have time to think about those things because we have to keep up with the constant motion of the treadmill to have the next thing, to be identified with the next thing that comes so that I can stay out front and I can feel like I'm on the cutting edge and my life is important and has meaning because I've got all the important stuff in my life that says to me, look, I'm a somebody and I'm not getting left behind. I'm keeping up or I'm ahead of the herd, all of that. That's the futility, the scripture says, friends, the futility of a darkened mind. There's that God-shaped hole that's in us that I'm sure you've heard about many times. People use that phrase. And we keep stuffing it and filling it with things that we think will satisfy us. And essentially what it does at best is simply distract us. Unfortunately, it distracts us from the larger question and the person of God. I mean, this whole week I've been talking about what it means to have a personal relationship with God. That's what you're made for. That's the road to happiness. That's the road to fulfillment and freedom. The words of John Paul II I mentioned earlier this week, I think ought to be really in each one of our hearts, in the hearts of every parishioner in the country. It is necessary to awaken again in believers a full relationship with Christ, mankind's only Savior. Only from a personal relationship with Jesus can an effective evangelization develop. How can we fulfill why we exist, the work of evangelization? Relationship with Jesus Christ. It's for you, friend. Open your heart to it. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. 4789.